the Perkins Brailler is a workhorse, and it's still being sold today and being used by many people around the world. But there are changes afoot. Some of those changes are, of course, technological. The Perkins is now relatively old technology. But the other changes are social. These days, most blind children are being taught in the mainstream by teachers who are illiterate in Braille terms. A piece of technology that deals with those challenges is the Mountbatten Brailler, a technology that's been around now for 10 years, but has recently been revised by its manufacturers, Quantum Technology, who announced the latest Mountbatten at the 5th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. We're joined now by Lee Kumutat of Quantum Technology in Sydney, Australia, to tell us more about the new version of the Mountbatten. Welcome to the program, Lee. The Mountbatten Brailler is a product that's been around a wee while. Can you tell us a wee bit about what it is and some of its history?
Okay, sure. The Mountbatten Brailler was actually released in 1990, so it's been around for a good decade now. It started out as a project that was obviously issued by the Mountbatten charity to try and find what blind people wanted in a Braille writer. And a survey was taken all around the world to actually discover that. It turned out that people wanted something that was electronic, something that you could connect to a PC, something that cost $250 and weighed 250 grams. Well, we couldn't kind of do the last two, but Quantum Technology actually won the tender, which is a worldwide call for tenders to actually design and build the Mountbatten Brailler. The first units, like I said, were released in 1990, and they are, some of those units still out there now. However, they weren't that successful in that they were a little bit noisy and a little bit unreliable. But it's been 10 years of development, and we finally, you know, about 5 years ago, came out with a very reliable product, and the new Mountbatten is again more reliable.
What's the significance of the name Mountbatten Brailler?
Well, it was actually the Lord Louis Mountbatten, Prince Philip's brother, who basically had an interest in blind people, and when he was unfortunately assassinated, he left the trust to try and do as much as he could for people who were blind.
Because it's amazing how long the Perkins has hung around for, isn't it? That Perkins seems to just be eternal in its usefulness in a school environment. Everybody seems to get a Perkins, even until fairly recently when the Mountbatten became prominent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, the Perkins Brailler has been a great workhorse, you know, for the last 50 years, or perhaps even longer. You know, they are pretty much indestructible, the Perkins Brailers. You know, you can drop them and kick them and do all sorts of things with them, and you can't kill a Perkins Brailler. But I think the way I tend to think about Perkins Brailers is that, you know, they are great mechanical devices and certainly very useful, you know, for day-to-day stuff. But in education especially, I mean, you don't see children learning to their keyboard skills on manual typewriters anymore. And I guess that is kind of the clincher for me, in the sense that, yes, Perkins do have their place, but in terms of the primary Braille writer around the world, I don't know that that's going to be the case for much longer.
So can you tell me a bit more about how the Mountbatten is used, how it operates, in other words, and what sort of settings you think it's particularly appropriate for? And even already we can see that the educational setting is pretty important for this product.
Exactly. Mainly the Mountbatten has been sold in education. I tend to think of it in the sense that it has five levels of operation. Young children starting out with their Braille skills just use the Mountbatten Brailler as electronic device, as electronic Braille device. It has an ergonomic keyboard so that they're not sort of twisting their wrists or having to use a lot of pressure to actually press the keys down, which is a common problem for young students. So they start off doing their scribbling and their first brailing on a lovely electronic keyboard. Then you can move on to erasing and correcting. The Mountbatten has its own erasing and correcting features, so you know, you don't have to use braille erasers and fingernails and all sorts of other ways of erasing your braille. Then you can start using page formatting, so moving about the page, learning about tabs, learning about centering and all those, you know, important things. And then you can also move on to creating files, doing simple files, learning about directories and file structures and creating a file and then kind of closing a file and then embossing it again. The Mountband also has a forward translation system in it, so while the student is using Mountband in the classroom for their brailing needs, at other times teacher aides or vision teachers can be connecting the Mountbatten to computers to produce braille. Because the forward translation system is in the unit itself, there is no translation required on the PC or the device that they're sending from. So that, you know, that makes things a lot easier for people who aren't necessarily that familiar with braille to produce braille.
So when they're making corrections and adjustments before printing it out, how are they doing that? Is there synthetic speech in there, or what's happening?
Okay, at that basic level for young students, that it is just brailing. You see an error, you can go back and correct it and replace it with the cell that you actually wanted to be there. Later on, yes, there are, you can start using the speech. In the new Mountbatten, we actually have two different types of speech on board. We have digitised speech, which is human-recorded speech onto a chip, and that is designed for young students who are just learning braille, so they're getting that feedback straight away. As they're brailing, they're getting the tactile feedback and the voice feedback as well. Now, that is very clear, very concise speech. It tells you exactly what the machine's doing. If there's an error, it'll tell you what the error is, so you know exactly what's going on with your Mountbatten. When the student kind of gets past the digitised speech and it gets a little bit sort of boring and mundane and a bit slow, then they can move on to the synthetic speech, which is the double talk speech. So it's quite clear, and that then will speak all the contractions, all your word signs, everything like that as well. The other advantage is that it can also teach children keyboarding skills. They can connect a PC keyboard to the Mountbatten without a computer, just the keyboard, and they can then have the braille feedback and the speech feedback as to what they're typing on the PC keyboard.
It sounds like an extremely flexible product. How do you think it fits in? It seems to me that when I talk to a lot of educationalists in the States and also in New Zealand to some extent, a lot of children seem to be getting portable braille note takers these days, such as the Braille Light and more recently the Braille Note. And I know that the Braille Light is something that Quantum also has an agency for. So where do you see the two differing or perhaps being complementary to one another?
Okay, what is generally happening in Australia and New Zealand is that the Mountbatten Brailler becomes the primary braille writer for the student and when they first start attending school. So they start out using the Mountbatten. You start using the speech and using the word processor that is within the Mountbatten, which isn't really it's not a complex word processor, it's quite comprehensive, but it isn't difficult. But it starts the children working with files and menu structures and things like that to get them used to a word processor. So we kind of figure that what would happen is the student starts with the braille, then works up at using it, using files and turning the embossing off in a classroom situation so that it's not making quite so much noise, and creating their work in the files and then embossing them later on. However, this is designed to kind of make the transition from a Mountbatten to a braille note taker a little more easy, I guess, and a little more smooth. So when a student is kind of getting into upper primary school, they start using their note taker or start learning to use note takers so that when they get into high school, they're not having so much to learn. So I guess what we kind of think happens with the Mountbatten is that it doesn't become the primary braille writer anymore, in the sense that it's not really a portable device. It's not really useful for students to be carrying around in high school. So what happens is that Mountbatten becomes a stationary device for the teachers to use, for the vision teachers to use, for the teacher aides to do all the brailing on, and a station for the student to connect up their note taker and produce a hard copy, braille copy of whatever they need from their note takers. The Mountbatten will connect up to all of the note takers, including the braille notes, so you've got your braille lights and your braille speaks and your arias. And so that's basically where we see Mountbatten kind of fitting into the education system.
Yeah, okay. And so how many pages can you store in the Mountbatten before you have to start printing it out? I presume it has some sort of built-in memory capacity.
That's right. In the new Mountbatten, we have 500K of memory, which, you know, in text terms is quite a bit. In the units that are existing units, there was 128K of memory, so that worked out to be about 250 Braille pages. You can store up to 25 files in the old one, and I think it's an unlimited amount of files in the new one. And so basically, that's the memory capacity there.
And presumably it has disk drive connectivity as well?
Not at this stage, no, it doesn't. You can transfer files to and from a PC with Procom or a communications package, but no, not this stage, there's no disk drive capability.
Is there a place for some sort of internet awareness in the Mountbatten, do you think?
Internet awareness, you have to...
In the sense that perhaps somebody could send a document over the net to a Mountbatten somewhere or something like that. You know, you might have a transcription service that has, let's say, a BRF file that they've already formatted with Duxbury or something, and they might want to perhaps send it over a network or via the internet to a Mountbatten in a school somewhere, maybe.
At this stage, they couldn't send it directly. It would need to go to a PC and then just be downloaded into the Mountbatten that way.
And you mentioned that size was a big factor in those early research projects where you were doing investigations to find out what people wanted. How small have you been able to get this piece of technology? Because I guess it's a real challenge to try and get a Braille printer and keyboard and all this connectivity, even in a remotely compact size.
Exactly. For those people that have used Mountbattens, everyone will be aware of the connector box, which actually connects to the right-hand side of the unit, which is kind of used as the terminal box where everything is connected through. We've managed to actually get rid of that. We're not using that anymore, and everything will now connect to the back of the Mountbatten brailer. So in the sense of cables and boxes and things going everywhere, we have eliminated that. In terms of size, you're right, it is difficult to make something that is a Braille printer small, and because you can actually fit 50 cell wide paper in the Mountbatten, you can't make it that small. We've actually made the new one a little lighter than the old ones. We've actually been able to remove some of the circuitry and some of the battery requirements and make it a little lighter. But in the sense, it is the same size as the old one.
That's interesting. So it is capable of being operated on batteries then?
Yes, that's right. You can... It's a lead-acid battery, so it's the same sort of battery as in a car. So, you know, as you use it and it's connected to power, it's charging the battery. You can actually use the battery for about 12 hours if you're just using it for hand brailing. If you're embossing, you'll get about 20 to 30 pages out of it before needing to connect it to power.
In terms of printing out your documents, how fast does it do that? And I know it's a really subjective thing, but can you give me an indication as to just how noisy it is? I've never really heard a terribly quiet Braille printer in my life.
No, it is difficult to do. We actually recommend, and the Mountbattens do come factory set, to use A4, the photocopy 80 sort of gram paper, 80 to 100 gram paper, because of the noise factor. On the Mountbatten Brailer, you can actually turn the impact level up and down of the embossing mechanism, which of course makes a difference to the noise that you will get. Now, because you can in fact turn that impact level up and down, it will make proper dots on the lighter paper. So it's not actually making holes like a Perkins Brailer would on that lighter paper. And that is the paper that most people are using because of the noise element. And I certainly know, using a Mountbatten here and a Mountbatten I have at home, that I do all my stuff on that lighter paper, and I keep it all in folders, lovely A4 folders, and it does maintain its quality. So it is good to use it that way. In terms of the speed, we estimate it's about 6 characters per second.
Right. I'm intrigued by the photocopy paper thing, so you haven't found a durability problem with that?
No.
Oh, that certainly makes Braille a lot more economical to produce as well.
Absolutely. Exactly. And for school children, nobody uses paper that size or that thickness at all, and they can put it in their folders, and the folders fit better in backpacks, and it just makes things, you know, kind of mainstream things a little bit further, I think. And like you say, it is less expensive.
It really does sound ideal for a school environment in the sense that one of the things that has concerned a lot of people with the many benefits of moving to a mainstream environment is that you have teachers who are effectively illiterate in blindness terms. I mean, they don't know Braille. And I guess, at least in this context, they're able to generate material in Braille. Can they also connect some sort of monitor to this and see what a child is writing?
Yes, they can. We've actually released at the same time as the new map button a device called a Mimic, which will connect to the map button and also to other Braille note takers as well. And it's a small LCD screen. It's 20 characters by 4 lines long, and it has a 30 Braille page memory in it. So you can connect to that. The student can be Brailing away and the information is being sent to the Mimic. The teacher can then also set bookmarks so that the teacher can then walk away and the student can be Brailing away and the teacher can come back and see what the student has been doing while they've been away. You can also get a hard copy, print copy from that device as well.
That's excellent. Now, let's talk Turkey in terms of the price here. How much for a new Mountbatten, the one that you've just released last week?
Okay, I can give you Australian pricing and US pricing. For the Mountbatten Pro, which is the unit with the digitised and the synthesised and both translation systems, so basically you're all singing, all dancing model, in Australian dollars is $4,325, and I believe in US dollars it's approximately $3,700.
It's changing all the time at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it sure is, yeah. That's right.
All right, and then, so there are other options that don't quite have as many bells and whistles then?
That's right. We've actually got 3 options in our Mountbatten series of Braillers at the moment. The first option is just called a Mountbatten Braille Writer, or the Mountbatten Junior, that somebody dubbed it, which we kind of like. That has digitised speech, so you're getting feedback as to what the Braille is doing. It does have back translation, so you can connect it to a Mimic, but there is no forward translation capabilities. So it is designed as an electronic Braille writer, and that's about it. The next one has forward and back translation systems and digitised speech, but no synthetic speech or word processor. And then you have the Mountbatten Pro.
Right. And so just recapping that means then, for instance, that if somebody has, let's say a teacher at home has generated a worksheet in Microsoft Word or something for the class and they're going to print it out, they could presumably save it as a plain text file and transfer it from the PC into the Mountbatten for Brailing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. And if the Mountbatten Brailer doesn't, you know, you don't want to move it around the place, you can actually take the Mimic and download something directly into the Mimic from a PC to serially, and then connect the Mimic to the Mountbatten and produce your document like that.
All right. Now, for those who already have Mountbattens, is this new one a completely new transaction, or are there upgrade paths available?
There aren't upgrade paths at the moment. We are looking at pricing of upgrades, but we haven't actually finalised that yet. But in terms of upgrading their physical machine, no, the circuitry is completely different.
All right. And is there anything else that we haven't covered about, you know, exciting new features that we haven't given you a chance to talk about?
No, not really. But I think I would like to stress that for beginner Braille users, that the audio feedback and the tactile feedback, we have seen amazing results with that. We had a Mountbatten, the speech and editing Mountbatten has been around for a couple of years now, and that had an external synthesizer connected, and students that were having problems with Braille were just picking it up very quickly. So we have seen great advantages with that.
Yes, because we're focused on the education of children a lot in this interview, but I also guess that when you're in an adult rehabilitation environment, if you're going to be teaching a group of people Braille, this could be a way of giving people instant feedback as to how they're performing.
Yep, absolutely. And you do see people come on in leaps and bounds when you do add that audio feedback. The other instances, I guess, which we haven't talked about, where we've seen Mountbattens being used is in employment, where obviously some people do prefer to have a hard copy of their notes or reports or things like that. I know I do. So Mountbattens are often seen on desks in workplaces, connected to PCs and just being used as embossers or Braille writers when some hand Brailing is needed. But the other thing that happens is that PC keyboards are connected to them, so if there's a message that needs to be left for somebody and and people prefer to see it in Braille, their workmates can just come up and their work colleagues can just come up and type on it and produce their message in Braille for them. So that, yeah. That's been used an awful lot in employment as well.
That's really interesting, because I remember a few years ago when I was working on a radio station that generated a whole lot of playlists, told you exactly what to play and when, we went through all sorts of hoops looking at options for making sure that there was a simple process whereby they could generate the Braille playlist as easily as they were generating the print ones without having to become either Braille experts or computer experts.
That's right. Well, you know, this would have had eliminated that. Could have just basically connected the keyboard to the mount pattern, produced your Braille copy, and even simultaneously produced a print copy.
Well, that's excellent. If people want to know more information about the mount pattern, how can they get in touch with Quantum? I presume there are agencies in the US as well?
There are. We have agencies in 30 countries around the world, but perhaps to make it expedient for people to get into contact with their dealer, they could contact us on our email address, which is info@quantech.com.au, or via our website, which is www.quantech.com.au.
It's a super website too, and there's lots of stuff about all sorts of things that we should come back and talk about some more at some point. So I thank you for coming on the program, and good luck with the new product.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.